The following is intended for mature audiences. It features adult content, including frank discussions about sexuality, as well as other challenging topics. Please make sure you're in the right headspace to listen. It's okay to tap out and come back. We'll be here. If you're ready, let's go. Good boy, good day, be the way that keep us. Good boy, good be the way that keep us.
Hi, I'm August.
They're a white Gen X trans person who's been a professional sex educator for over a decade. They're also a life coach who takes a somatic, mindful approach to supporting liberation. I'm Santos.
He's a brown, Latino, gay, trans man who tries to bring intersectional, decolonial viewpoints to sex ed and empowering confidence. Welcome to episode 2 of Kink Punks. We recorded live on May 20th, 2023 at Transferno, a queer sex party that centers transmasculine desire and sexuality. You'll get to hear party hosts and some guests step up to the mic in this episode. Stay tuned to hear all about cruising, flagging, and being seen, the history of both the venue and the party, sex party etiquette, and holding your desires lightly. During this discussion, you will notice that the folks who spoke up characterized their genitals as flat, not filling out underwear with a pouch up front, and or not oriented away from their body. Each person spoke about their own body and their own desires. However, we want to remind listeners that this self-selecting group is not representative of transmasc bodies or experiences. There are a wide variety of genital configurations for us, including but not limited to the ones described here, neo-phalli, packers, and prosthetics. We have lots of great genitals. We have all the genitals. We will focus on more expansive discussions of private parts going forward. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this special sex party episode. I wanted to introduce, first name the fact that we're at a party called Transferno.
We are.
Which is a combination of the words trans and inferno.
Yeah, and inferno is the party in general.
Yes.
And So that's the party. The space is an underground dungeon in Brooklyn.
That's right. And literally underground with black walls. Yes. In a basement of a large apartment building.
Yeah. Slightly mildewy. There is a maze, basically, where people kind of walk through and you can peek in holes and watch people fuck on slings. There's an open dance floor, which is where we are now.
That's
and
right.
then there is another space aside from this where, people do a lot of other fucking in a little bit slightly more open space.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to note that it's a very large basement. It's painted black, walls and the ceiling.
Yeah.
There are, red lights and there are curtains everywhere. There's a lot of dark corners. Mm-hmm. When you first enter, you come in through a hallway where you can check your pants.
Yeah.
And that's an important place to stop and check your pants.
Yeah.
And then you enter the party space and there's a few bathrooms and some hand sanitizer, beverages, some real basic stuff for you to, that you might need. To your right, you can explore a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And within the maze, there are seats and glory holes.
Mm-hmm.
And several slings.
Yeah.
And then past the maze, there's another bed with those kind of sheets that nothing sticks to.
Yeah.
And a small stage with another sling on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the opposite side of us, to our right,
mm-hmm.
there's another area with a bed and a screen where perhaps pornography will be played.
Yeah, there's a little
That's what I was anticipating.
Jerk off nook.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then beyond that is another space where there's a bathtub,
uh-huh.
a bed, and a bunch more slings.
Yeah.
So there's an abundance of slings here tonight.
Yes.
There's not a clear line from one end of the space to the other.
No.
So, you're kind of looking around corners and trying to see, who might be where.
Yeah. And also, you can't sort of necessarily look too far in one direction or another.
That's right.
It feels weird not to be looking at you.
It does.
The tub you mentioned, it's for pissing or other things,
see.
Yeah. What did it feel like walking into this space for you after so long?
I find walking into a sex party in general and walking into this space in particular is it has to come with an action of reclaiming for me and claiming that a sexual space can be a healthy and affirming space for me rather than one where I'm running around hosting and trying to stop people from doing things that are beyond the pale.
Yeah.
So Let me just leave it at that for now.
Speaking of hosting, we are, well, I am, we're both part, what the hosts of this party. So we have, so it's a party that is specifically for trans mask folks. And so the party is specifically for trans mask folks. And we are, there's four hosts. And my scene name, you know, my name on the podcast is different from my scene name.
Yes.
I haven't, like, figured out what I want to do about that, but it's
yes.
Atrevido is my scene name. We have Chris Gray, who is an artist and professor.
Yes.
We have Pup Rexy, who is Northeast Pup 2023. And then we have Adam, who is the host of every Inferno. Basically, there's four of us. We are... making sure that the rules are being observed, and also just kind of like bringing our own friend bases and networks and kind of mingling them all together.
That's right. Santos, I was wondering, I think now might be a good time for me to do a reading of the rules.
Yeah.
Because especially for folks who might be listening to this podcast and not in New York City, not able to attend something like this.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to know or hear about what the rules sound like, because... You know, like years ago when I was struggling to have rules at sex parties,
yeah.
There wasn't any good example of what the rules of a sex party would look like. And I feel like the rules at this party are a really excellent example
yeah.
of how rules could look in a space that's actually liberating
yeah.
rather than just a sex space.
Yeah.
Yes, you must check your phones. No smoking inside. No hard drugs. Again, no smoking. No shade. Consent is a must. Respect each other and celebrate differences. Pants check encouraged. Okay. Those are some limited rules, but I think you'll find in the Q&A there's a lot more information. And I do want to actually read the sort of mission statement of the party
yeah,
to
sure.
start.
And go for it.
Formerly known as NYC Inferno Times Playhouse, Transferno Party centers trans guys and trans masculine people in a historically gay space to explore a wide spectrum of trans desire. We welcome and encourage all genders to come through and enjoy. If you feel curious or like you might belong, you do belong. This is an inclusive queer party that welcomes all genders and presentations. T4T, cis and trans folks who have experience with trans guys, cis and trans folks who have no experience with trans guys, every imaginable identity, embodiment, and configuration. Non-binaries, femme spectrum, and trans femmes, we love you. Come play with us. If you think this space might be for you, it probably is. You are welcome and invited to participate in creating a hot and friendly play environment that holds space for social and sexual possibilities.
I was one of the people who wrote that. Chris Gray really kind of narrowed it down and kind of smoothed out the language. And I think that kind of started as a little bit of a germ of an idea from 2019. And then we've kind of like... narrowed it down a little bit more, smoothed it out, and updated it a little bit. So this is a party that is specifically centering trans men and trans masculine folks, but we are not an exclusive party, so that's definitely a benefit for a lot of folks, because there's no point in policing and saying, oh, you can't be XYZ or your partner can't come. Like
that's right.
That's no fun.
That's right. And as you you were telling me about IMSL,
yeah.
What I'm finding is that I'm really loving this idea that spaces can center one identity without
yeah.
excluding anyone else.
Absolutely.
And have that be okay with everyone involved.
Yeah.
And that sounds simple, but it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, that's not how all spaces work. I think that just because of time, how do you feel about this? We can kind of like select a couple of things from the Q&A.
Sure.
And then kind of move on to some of the other points. How do you feel
yes,
about that?
Yes, I'm totally in agreement with that.
Great.
Should we do the difference between Inferno and Playhouse? Because it has a little bit of
sure,
history
go for
in
it.
There?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
Wait, do you mind if I read this?
No, not at
just
all.
Just because I read
it.
Quickly.
Go.
What's the difference between NYC Inferno and Transferno? That's the question. A, NYC Inferno began in late 2016 as an MSM, men who have sex with men, focused play party, meaning that it centered the experiences of men who have sex with men. I didn't mean for that to be redundant. The attendees were historically mostly cis gay men looking to play with other cis gay men, and Though the party always celebrated diversity and include and welcomed trans folks, including many trans men, trans women, non-binary, and genderqueer non-conforming guests who attended the parties, some in the trans mass community felt sidelined. The creators of NYC Inferno listened to this feedback and teamed up with Chris Gray, a sex-positive trans artist and activist, to create the first Playhouse party in early 2019. The first night was a smashing success with a very even mix of trans and cis folks who made the party very hot, who made the party a very hot and exciting experience. Playhouse happened two more times after that first night, but when Chris Gray moved out of NYC for greener pastures, the creators of NYC Inferno took some time and sought out new collaborators to throw the party with. Two of Playhouse's most passionate attendees, me and then Sammy N at the time, were filling that role at the time, and now we're bringing the party back under the new name Transferno. With Pup Rexy and Chris back, and of course Adam.
Is this party only for cis guys who want to play with trans guys, or trans guys who want to play with other trans guys? There'll be lots of friendly cis and trans men at the party, as well as people of other genders, and it's up to you who you interact with and how you want to play. This is an inclusive queer party that welcomes all genders and presentations, cis and trans folks who have experience with trans guys, and cis and trans folks who have no experience with trans guys. You can dive in headfirst, stand back and watch respectfully, or take your time and explore at your own pace. As long as you treat each other with kindness, you should be fine.
Here are some other simple things we recommend. Be friendly. Read the energy. Establish and check in with consent. Ask about what's okay to touch and what body parts should be called. Ask and or cue in to how your trans partner wants to play. We're not all bottoms. Be prepared to have a great time. And also, I've never cruised before. How do I do it? I wrote this, and I'm very proud of it. Transferno is a space to notice people and to be noticed. Feel free to make friendly eye contact. If you've noticed someone you like giving you the eye, a smile or nod will work wonders. Feel free to say hi and ask for what they're looking for. Always get consent before touching, and if things go further, make sure you're checked in to what feels good for both of you. Consent is the first step to really hot sex.
Are there any more from the Q&A that we want to cover?
Maybe, will I definitely get play if I come? There's some laughter. No. We can't ever guarantee everyone will get to hook up or have a perfect party experience. But if you approach the party with open energy described above, you are sure to have fun either way.
That's right. And there is one way to guarantee getting play. It's something that I did, which is bring along some masturbation toys.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I asked you how you felt about coming here, and I didn't talk about how I felt about coming here.
And I would love to hear it.
Yeah, and you're making an excellent point, which is I come here because I like the space. I love the energy. I love how like gritty and grimy it is and how fun it tends to be, especially Inferno. Just because the main tenet of Inferno is just no shade. So I love that feeling, and I had a fairly stressful day. Mm-hmm. For as stressful as it can be working at a sex shop. But it was just busy, you know, it's a Saturday, it's Pride season's coming up. And I came here and I was just like, oh, like I love it here. And the reason that I love it here is the same reason that a lot of people love it here, which is this space has created opportunities for embodiment for so many people, which is why I stand Inferno so hard and which is why I stand Adam so hard. I started coming here in 2017, and I know that because it was before I had my top surgery, which was in the beginning of 2018. I wasn't totally like embodied, I feel like, until afterward. And also that didn't happen specifically because of top surgery. A big part of it was because of coming here. And just being like, you know what, fuck it. Like, this is my body. You know, and I've said this before, but my body is not a cis body, and it never has to be a cis body. So it is what it is, and I'm going to enjoy it, and people can enjoy it.
That's right. That is right. It goes like that could be said over and over again.
Yeah. Wait.
We could just repeat that if you want.
Yeah. But I went on this tangent, and I forgot what started it, which is you mentioned masturbation toys.
Right.
And like it's important to enjoy yourself, and your enjoyment does not hinge on anyone else's enjoyment.
This is an important point.
Yeah. And so, like, if you want to go to a sex party and jerk off, that's awesome. That's sex.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I really just want to point out that I think that's an excellent idea and an excellent thing to point out.
Thanks.
That you pointed out.
Thank you. I'm so glad. I definitely wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about how important it is to be here and, like, what this space means and how important it is to have a trans night.
Yeah.
Something about New York City is that there is not a shortage of places for cis men to have sex with each other.
No.
This is the only one that I know of.
Yeah.
Where trans men are explicitly welcome.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, actually. Explicitly welcome and encouraged.
Right.
Because, like, it'll be in the guidelines.
Right.
But then you show up and people are like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that I've definitely experienced in other places, you know, and also like shade about just lots of things, like how are you playing, like are you a top or a bottom, like if you're a trans guy, you must be a bottom, blah, 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 blah. And here I get a lot more questions and do a lot more negotiating.
Excellent.
So, yeah. And I think, like, confidence is really important because, like, you know, I'm talking about feeling embodied. That has everything to do with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And confidence, confidence helps you figure out your boundaries. And that's important in terms of, like, negotiating consent.
Yeah.
You know, having a good time and doing things for you.
That's right.
Does anybody, maybe Chris, you don't have to come up. Chris or Rexy, I told you all before.
Yeah.
We warned you before. If anyone wants to share, like, a story about or it doesn't have to be Davi, you're invited too. Yes. So if any one of you all for now, because we're gonna open the floor to everybody. So think about this. If you want to talk about and these aren't, this is not a structured question, just some lead-ins. Chris is getting ready.
He's
wearing this gorgeous like day glow wonderful outfit, jockstrap. Did you make that jockstrap?
I made this myself. Okay, hi friends. Hi. My name's Chris. I made this jockstrap for myself. And it grew out of a frustration of not finding any on the market for other cunted creatures.
Yeah.
And being sick of ill-fitting jock straps.
Chris, could you describe for our listeners what it looks like since they're not here to see?
Absolutely. I am wearing a jock strap that is comprised mostly of a Dayglow yellow, and it has a pink and black leopard print waistband, and it has velvet loops on the butt. The difference here is that it's designed for a flat front instead of packing. Most of the jock straps that are marketed towards trans mask folks and non-binary cunted creatures also include, like, packing pouches,
right?
Which is great for folks who want to pack. It's just that I don't. I'm real into my anatomy, and I want to sort of feature it in a different way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Chris.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being here. This sort of aspect of embodiment, this was resonant for me. It certainly was my experience in this space, my first sort of party and kind of my home base party.
Yeah.
And it's been a real pleasure to, like, work with folks to, like, create something together basically that can be a platform for us to, like, do what we want to do together.
That's right.
So my question originally was going to be, can you tell us about starting the party and or positive experiences you may have had here and or anything else surrounding that or that brings up?
Yeah, so I really don't have a whole lot of experience up until the recent past in sex spaces and group play. So it's a new aspect of my exploration. And I came to an Inferno party for the first time, mainly because another trans non-binary person was co-hosting. And so that person put me on their list and encouraged me to come. And I walked up to the door the first time, and I was like so scared to go into it that I had to like walk myself around the block a couple times. So I was really terrified. And then I got downstairs, and I was hit with the heat and the smell and the bodies, and I was transported. And it was completely magical. I felt like I was in a completely different place. And I also felt in a completely different place in my body. And I didn't touch anyone that first time. I just kind of hung out and watched and felt in awe that I could even just be in the room while that stuff was happening. And a lot of it was just stuff of fantasy and pornography that I had watched and had desire around but never had access to in a certain way. So I think that door opening, Adam creating that platform where trans guys were integrated, really started making me feel like, well, we should do it every once in a while where they're like in the center. And that means that like the folks who like us that we like, that crosses every conceivable identity, embodiment, and configuration. So what happens if we make a party like that? And you know, we've had great collaborations, long-term collaborations now, Adam and I. We did a Zoom party during pandemic times, you know. I think, I don't know about you all, but, like, I feel like I got through early quarantine because I have a creative masturbatory practice, you know.
Yeah.
Good thing. I was, feeling real alone. So those were times where we proved that, like, when we come together, no matter what the platform is or what the circumstances are or under how much political duress, which we have to be honest about as well as the sort of container for this event we are happening at a certain time in history.
Yes.
So for me, it just feels like, you know, the more people get involved, the more people want to be involved, the more creative ideas come out from these parties about how you can use this as a platform to do something creative like this, have a performance. Like, we're really open, and this is a platform for collaboration, so it feels like that's the invitation. We're here to make space together.
Cool. Thank you, Chris.
Awesome. That actually brought up a thought that we were talking about brought up a thought for me that we were talking about earlier this week, which is that you all are here, right? You all are yesterday's fantasy right now. And yeah, and you all are maybe impressing some of your friends, you know, by being here.
Yeah.
You all are being really brave and gorgeous and, As I think Adam said a minute ago, that yes, you may have. I don't know if it was you, but you were talking about like what it was like just to like kind of go through the door as well. Chris said that before, but I think you said that earlier today, that like people are just coming here and they're coming through the door, and it's a big step. So like I am impressed with impressed with everybody here.
And I just want to say too that for everyone who's here right now, you already did the hard part, so the rest is just extra. Like this now you're inside. Like just have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we talked about cruising a little bit.
Yeah, I think we should get in a little more into cruising.
Yeah.
And I think Santos has always had a lot of great stuff to say about cruising and what it entails. And I think that a lot of us might romanticize it, but not know how to get started.
Yeah, I mean, mainly it's a lot about taking up space. You know, like a lot of us are a little bit shy. And when you come here, right, the opportunity is, or let's say a lot of people are like, what if I don't get play, or how do I get play, et cetera. And there's always an opportunity to talk to other people. There's no pressure to actually play. So if perhaps the goal is to enjoy yourself And if part of that goal is to interact with other people, and you kind of start doing that, there you go. That's cruising. You know, so you can sort of like look at other people. First off, I like to encourage people to like bring their shoulders back, take up space, you know,
make sure everyone can see you.
Yeah, make sure everyone can see you. And think about the fact that everyone can see you and that it's not a big deal. Because you're here and they're here.
That's right.
And
it's just our gaze.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it's all about the gaze. Chris made a very good point. It's just our gaze. So we don't have to worry about anybody else's gaze, right? Here. And even in other places, right? Even in bars, like cis gay bars where it's not primarily our space, right? If somebody doesn't appreciate you, they are helping you dodge a bullet. Like, you're not for them.
Yeah, that's right? Just information to have.
Yeah, somebody has to be for you.
Yes.
And that's kind of the whole point, you know, in my opinion.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And like, celebrating the fact that we're here and we see each other and we appreciate each other and we're turned on by each other.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty hot time already before we even start the negotiating.
Yeah. I mean, we all have the opportunity and the enjoyment of like displaying ourselves. And that can be kind of fun.
I want to open up the floor, but I think we should demonstrate what we were talking about first, which is that like I am really curious about, you know, stuff that people decide to wear, what they chose to wear tonight, what it signifies or means to them.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, Santos, if you want to tell us about your harness.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll,
cool.
I'll tell you about my harness and my jockstrap.
Excellent.
So I'm going to take off my shirt because why not? Or maybe you'll see it later. You'll see it later. We don't have all that time. But the point is, so I am wearing a harness that I painted. So it's a black harness with light blue piping. I chose light blue because for the hanky code, light blue is cocksucking. And I really love having my dick sucked. So in the hanky code, just for anybody who might not know, left is your flagging top, right is your flagging bottom. I don't expect to be wearing pants later, so I'm just flagging a black harness with light blue piping. I also had a harness, jockstrap custom made that I had made for the same exact purpose that Chris has his jockstrap made. So I am a leather man, and I enjoy wearing leather. And I felt it was frustrating that I couldn't get head in a regular leather jockstrap. So I had a jockstrap made that's basically a strap around the waist and two straps around the legs with a cod piece that can be snapped on or snapped off. So basically, I can get head in a jockstrap, unlike other leather jockstraps that are made for cis men, where everything, you know, their genitals kind of come out, and mine don't happen to do that. So I found a workaround. My sub got it for me for my birthday, and I am very thankful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what we're looking to do here too, and we could open the floor.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about what you're wearing?
I do actually want to talk about what I'm
wearing. Yeah, why not?
Thanks for asking. I am wearing jeans and no shirt and a harness, and I was thinking about our conversations about bathhouses and the old leather and Levi reference to like the bar scene as leather and Levi, as opposed to like, you know, we've gotten really specific in our fetishes.
Yeah.
But I wanted to sort of harken back to that sort of simple classic.
Love it.
Leather and Levi.
Yeah.
And then the harness was given to me by the first trans man that I was close to.
Right.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
It is made of small leather straps with cock rings.
Yeah.
And I have worn this harness to a variety of sex parties where I'm going to say I have worn this harness at a variety of problematic play spaces.
Okay.
I had it resized by you, Santos.
I did,
and
yes.
And he did the custom made this for me so that it actually fits my body now.
Yeah.
It was originally made for someone much larger than me. And I wore it as kind of like a
loose decorative harness, but now it's a really fitted harness, and it's fitted to my chest size.
Yeah.
Which makes a really big difference. And I'm also, again, sort of reclaiming that space. I'm really like, I'm wearing this to a sex party that's not problematic.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe if we don't want to be so black and white, you know, that where I'm risk, it's risk aware. And there are many more guidelines, and it's much more explicit than anything I've been to in the past.
Yeah, we're here to have fun.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We're here to have fun. Yeah. Yes. Not to be marginalized.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Does anybody else want to talk about what they're wearing, or maybe you know, some goals that center themselves? Like, yes, it's great. Like, I want to get, I don't know, fucked by a bear. But that also, like, that intention kind of like centers finding a bear to fuck you. So, like, is there anything like that you might want to feel emotionally or etc., like, if you want to highlight what you're wearing as well. Please talk about yourself, Oak. I would love that.
Hi, my name is Oak. I was the board treasurer for Folsom Street Events in San Francisco for about 10 years. I threw a lot of play parties and events. There was one that was with Toby Hillmeyer. I don't know if anybody knows who Toby is. Toby's fucking great. And then... most recently, I was ops and volunteers for IMSL BB, not IMSL. just to be a pendant and make sure that the children know. And don't forget the bootblocks.
Yes,
IMSL BB or Bubba. And I produce and make a lot of like sex toys and gear. I also want to do a shout out to a trans-owned company called Bird Beaks, who actually is going to be making flat front jocks. They have a prototype out. They make other gear that's really specific for trans bodies. And he, Bird, was part of the Bear Chest calendar fundraising in San Francisco. So I've been in this area for approximately 6 months, but I've worked 2 full-time jobs. So I have not done shit. Yeah.
You're saying that you haven't done shit, but have you been here?
Yes. Okay. So I've been here, and I came for Fawcett, and Fawcett is a piss party that's thrown by same people, right? And it was the best fucking time. So I... got pissed on a lot. It was fantastic. And then I played with a lot of cis guys. So, like, my sir left after, like, having a lot of people piss on me and beating me. And then immediately somebody snatched me up and was like, do you want to get fisted? And I was like, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And, like, I was laying in the piss pool at that point. And so, like, he didn't know that I was... like, I had on a latex bodysuit. Nobody could really, like, I had a jock, latex. Nobody could see my business. I do not have top surgery. I plan on never getting top surgery. I can come from sensual nipple play. And so he, like, very started with my ass and then very quickly was like, oh, there's another hole here. Yeah, fantastic. fisted both holes, like cleaning off and like making sure everything was good and kosher. And then he was like, okay, now you're gonna do me. And I was like, yeah. So then we went to, in the back, to one of the slings, and I fisted him, and it was fucking amazing. I'm a super big fist fucker fetishist for cis dudes, so it was fantastic. And then while that was happening, people peed on me while I was getting fucked by somebody else when I got in the sling.
Nice.
And it was hot. And it was also a cis guy that, again, like, because of my outfit, did not know that I was trans until he was, like, fucking my ass, which I prefer anal. But he was like, oh, there's another hole here. Fantastic! And he was like, I want to fuck it. And I'm like, okay. And so, yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was very affirming. It was great.
Thank you, Oak. That's a little bit of a hard act to follow. Oak is kind of legendary. However, we are also building our own legends. Does anybody else want to share any sort of story or intention or talk about what they're wearing?
Hello. Can I stand over here?
You can stand
over
here.
I mean, you can look at my butt, but I want to see you too. I'm Miles. I'm from Philly. I'm so excited to be here for the first time tonight.
Welcome.
Thank you. My buddy brought me. I'm wearing a harness that my sir gave me. It's vegan, but it like doesn't look like it, which I think is kind of like stunning.
It's so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. And this jock strap, which has a flat front, which I super enjoy for myself. And I have boots on that I really love because I love both trampling and being trampled. So if anybody has feet that you would like to put on somebody, I very much enjoy that and be happy to show you how I like to be stepped on. Could probably do more things than that too. So whatever footwear or not footwear you have, I would super enjoy that. But yeah, thank you. I'm happy to be here with y'all. Thanks.
Cool. thank you so much.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? And if people don't volunteer, I'm going to start calling people. Yes. I was going to call you. Psychic.
I'm Pup Rexy. I use they, them pronouns. I'm the current Northeast Pet 2023. That means it's like it's a leather title for pet players. I've been traveling a lot. I've been to IMSLBB. I've been to Claw. For Pride, I'm going to be in a lot of different states. I need to take a breath and think about that for a minute. What I'm wearing right now is I'm wearing my Doc Martens. I'm wearing tie-dye socks that say Good Boy Club. Because while I'm not a boy, I do like being called a good boy. I am wearing a blue jock from Lockwood 51, right?
Yeah.
Lockwood 51. It's stretchy. It's like the old school bike jock, so it does kind of look like a flat front because there's nothing to stretch it. I'm wearing a new harness I got from Mama Leather, who's a New York native designer. It's teal and sparkly, and I got an extra O-ring so that it can either be a classic bull harness or crossback in the back. They sized me at Claw's, really cute moment, because I've helped them set up multiple vending booths at $3 Bill and at the Eagle, and it took me going to a completely different state for me to finally buy a harness from them, and we had a funny moment about that. And I'm also wearing a custom-made wrist cuff that has the trans leather pride flag with a red puppy bone, like the Pet Play pride flag. I love coming into spaces. I say that I'm newer to the kink scene. I'm only about a year and a half, 2 years in, kind of hit the ground running a year into my kink journey, running for a leather title and then winning. But coming into play spaces, even in the beginning of my title year in October, and me now are not the same pup, and that's really magical. It's finding your desirability, and that doesn't have to be linked to other people. It can, especially for trans guys, non-binary people, it can be linked to standing around in a room in your jock, in a harness, owning your desirability, owning your identity, and whatever that means for you. So like Chris said, I don't pack. I had a bad experience packing and playing with somebody. And I love getting front hole fucked, front hole fisted. So for me, standing around in a jock where it's more obvious that there's nothing there is really hot for me. And it's also important to acknowledge, they've been saying that you come into a space and you don't have to play. There's no pressure to play. I know that in my mind, there's always that pressure. And if I don't play, I leave feeling really frustrated at myself. And it's important to acknowledge the inner monologue in your brain.
Oh, yeah.
Because also with a pup, you don't need a hood to be a pup. You don't need a hood to be a pet player. But it does help. And a lot of times that like second part isn't really talked about because you want to make everything kind of peachy and amazing. But it like a lot of us are neurodivergent and we're in our head a lot. So not playing is something that's going to happen. But you also have to be okay with that. And when you go home, not beat yourself up. Because even the really, really experienced players, there are play parties where they don't play.
That's right.
And that's okay.
So Rexy actually brought up a bunch of great points in terms of confidence and also kind of like being realistic about expectations and something that you talked about actually in the first episode, which was the inner monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, we can take all of that into account and kind of put it all together and just congratulate ourselves for being here.
That's right.
For being brave, for being curious, for being hot, right? For having the curiosity to be in a space such as this, for inviting our friends, for telling our friends and asking them to look at our pictures of our outfits and pick an outfit, you know, all that fun stuff.
That's right. And just know that if you do have some of that monologue and some of that doubt coming up, that you don't have to listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to listen to that at all. It can be there advising you, but you don't have to hear it. You don't have to really believe it.
Yeah. And also, like, the entire point of all of this is community, right? Like, sex is social. Sex is a way of socializing. And we can do that, and we can be sexual with each other, and we can, you know, we can also, like, cruise some person and know that they're hot, and maybe hopefully we'll see them another time, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this is a way of being seen, being really seen, and for a lot of people, it's like being seen in their most earnest and raw. And you get to do that, you know?
And, you know, it's taking a big risk to ask someone to play.
Yeah.
But what we can do here is have, like, the rejection light where it's just good information to have. Like, you just, you know, as Santos was saying that, you know, they made the decision for you, and then you can move forward. And, like, it doesn't have to stick to you or be a big deal.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow, get in that car and go on that ride to what the fuck's wrong with me or any of those places. You can just stay here and look at people's bodies and ask someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the beauty in a party like this, is that there are so many opportunities, so many possibilities, like, that each of you embody and that each of you can create.
And we really wanted to hype it up, but we also wanted to make it not a big deal, so no pressure.
Yeah, it's true.
Have your goals, but hold them lightly.
Oh my God, that's so good. Seriously. So I guess I wanted to ask Adam if he wanted to. Yeah, you.
Yeah.
So Adam is the host of this party. And has been hosting it since 2016. And I wanted to invite you, if you wanted to talk about anything that you wanted to talk about regarding this party.
That's right.
Would you like it if I gave you a more specific... Yes. a more specific question. I'll give you the same question that I gave everybody else. Will you tell us about what you're wearing? Like, describe it. And tell us about it. And also... some positive experiences that you've had in community and or with this party?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for honoring us with this podcast taping at our first Transferno since the pandemic. You know, this is something that I really wanted to do more or want to incorporate more into Inferno in general, is kind of like salons or skill shares or kind of educational elements. So I'm really excited to sort of, you know, try it out. I mean, I think the guiding rule of Inferno for me is that I don't want it to be, I don't want us to feel like we're doing the same party twice. Like, I really try to approach it as though every party has to have some kind of different element, so that it doesn't just feel like, oh, I can miss it this month, because it'll be just the same as it is, you know, some other way. And I think that's a lot of how nightlife in New York kind of is. You know, you set your party, you have the same kind of disco playing or the same kind of 80s music or whatever, same people, and everyone just shows up and it feels kind of rubber stamped, and so things get less and less special. But I think for Inferno, for me, it has to be interesting and exciting for me. I'll talk about what I'm wearing, which is I am wearing a collar with a loop on the end of it that I got from the Leatherman, and I'm wearing a chain cross harness that I also got from the Leatherman, and I got this, and I also am wearing a kind of I don't know what you'd call it. It's sort of like a spandex-y kind of booty shorts with like a removable cock crotch element, which I can undo. Yeah. And I just undid it. I exposed myself in front of the party, and
as any good host would.
That's right. I bought this before I was going to Claw, and I think like one of the things that's interesting, or at least the reason I bought this outfit, is because I'm getting a lot more into exploring my submissive side in a little more of a traditional kink manner. I feel like I've been doing being subby and being like wanting to please, you know, people for a long time, but now I'm trying to like, I don't know, try to follow the rules a little bit. I don't know. I'm just exploring it. And so I was like, let me put on an outfit that sort of communicates that I'm feeling subby.
Can I remind you of what you told me when you bought it?
But what he told me about, because I wasn't setting myself up to like inject myself in your conversation, but you did come to where I work, which is a fetish shop, to get fitted for a harness. And you didn't find the one that clicked for you, and you told me that you bought this one because it made you feel like a faggot.
Yes, that's true. I do feel like a faggot in this. I think a lot about, I don't want to get too heavy, but I think a lot about like what I was told as a kid about gay people. And like, it's so interesting because it's all the same stuff that, you know, all these crazy people are beating the drum about now, which is like whenever you would see something about people who were gay on the news, it would always be like these kind of like leather queens in crazy chainmail and harnesses and leashes and all this stuff that, you know, just to make it seem so, you know, oh, these people are coming for your children, which is like the whole narrative they're pushing now too. And so, you know, the more I get into kink and doing all the things, it was like, oh yeah, I just want to embody that person that like was like the thing I was terrified to be when I was a kid. And so like embracing like my identity as a faggot and, you know, being like submissive and, you know, exploring every kink under the sun that I can is, you know, really kind of my thing. It's what I love to do. And, you know, I make movies that are sex positive. I make art that, you know, that's, I write and I do things, I curate series. I have a whole kind of thing. And my ethos is really just all about breaking down barriers that keep us disconnected from each other, creating community space for people. And being as filthy as I want to be, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of my thing. And Inferno is this amazing space that, you know, has allowed me to sort of spread the gospel of that kind of way of being to a whole different community. And it's brought me into community with people like you and Chris and so many others. I mean, I can't really count the nights that I've had here. We've been doing this party since December 2016. So it's, you know, to tell you one or two nights, I couldn't, you know, probably tell you. I do remember, you know, for instance, the party we had in December or November was Selma Thongs, which was our Bjork thong party, where it was all amazing, like super fan Bjork faggots, twinks on the dance floor singing along to pagan poetry in their thongs while people were getting fucked all over the party. That was amazing. It was the most amazing party. And then last month the theme was clowns. And I always try to do something silly with the theme because I think the silly themes especially really get people, they get people out of their like uptightness and their way of being like, you know, oh, I have to be like this like posed and perfect like leather daddy or, you know, whatever. And it's like, oh no, you're at a party where the theme is clowns. Yeah. And everybody is dressed like a clown or they're in their thongs and there's like, or there's Light FM kind of music playing.
Yes.
Like, it's just, you know, that's the whole vibe. Like, I want it to be fun and weird and different. And like, that's how New York is supposed to be. That's how, like, when I watched like MTV and Andy Warhol's 15 minutes on MTV when I was a kid, it was like, I want to go to that place where they're doing wild and creative things. And so I just created it myself, basically, with the help of some wonderful people, including Pickles, who runs Pickles Playground, which is the space that we're in. That this space has been here for 25 years. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So I feel good to be part of that legacy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Adam. Yeah. I feel like that so much of that resonated with me personally, too. And that is also why I moved here, too.
Yeah. And, you know, we are all 100% part of that legacy. And, you know, it's just about 11.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, basically, we are going to set you all free. I wanna finish with the way that we sign off our podcast, which is, thanks for listening to Kink Punks. Be kind, be fierce, respect boundaries, including your own, and do whatever the fuck you want. Thank you.
Thank you.